When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. And I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. In the passage that Bill read for us earlier, Paul compares a time of partial gifts that was within the church, and he compared his use of the partial gifts to childhood. And basically what he tells us here is that while these gifts last, he will use them and speak by them as though he spoke when he was a child. Because as a child, you do not have all understanding. As a child, you don't perceive the things that an adult can perceive. You don't have the knowledge, you don't have the ability to weigh right and wrong and understand reasoning as an adult should. And so he talks about this time that as long as these gifts last, this is how he has to use them because he doesn't have all. But then he said, when that perfect, which is perfect, comes, talking about the law, he's going to put away these partial gifts, these gifts that are bestowed for the childhood of the church, and use the perfect law, as you and I have it today, to guide us in our efforts to serve God. Now, we understand the application of this. We understand the fact that when we are young, we lack experience, we lack knowledge, we lack understanding. This is something that comes with a period of growing. We can understand that. We also understand that both in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm of our lives, that we must grow. Because without growth, we will die. We obey the gospel and become a Christian. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 that as newborn babes, brand new Christians in other words, we need to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. We need to begin at the beginning. We need to start out as a babe in Christ. We need to understand the elementary principles of Christianity before we try to bite off something that is hard and difficult in life. But then Paul tells us something else. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, Paul tells us that there comes a time when we are to be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man, and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Paul is telling us there is a time when we need to set aside the immaturity of our childhood and become an adult. There comes a time when we no longer need to speak like a child, understand like a child, and think like a child. It is time for us to grow up. And Peter also echoes this need for maturity in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, where he says, "But grow in grace, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be both glory now and forever." While it is fine to be immature for a while, there comes a time when we must put those things away. Last night, Philip and I and Alan, we sat down and watched a football game. Yesterday afternoon, I watched one that reminded me of my childhood, the game between the Chiefs and the Colts. You see, when I was about 9 years old, my daddy and mother bought me an electric football game. Now, this was the day before the computer, before the video games. Y'all remember them? You push the button, the thing vibrates, and the players move along the metal playing field. My two teams was the Colts and the Chiefs. I was reliving my childhood yesterday afternoon with them two teams. Because every day for years I sat down in the floor and played that game. And every time the Chiefs would beat the Colts. Yesterday the Chiefs beat the Colts. So I relived my childhood. But you know, I don't have that game anymore. I don't have any of my childhood games anymore. That's all a part of my past. It's time to move on. And that's what the Scriptures are trying to tell us here with our lives. It's time to move on. It's time for us to grow up. Now, before we move into what I really want to talk about this morning, I want us to mention some things about our childhood that we need to keep. That's the first part of this lesson. There are some childish traits that you and I need to keep in our lives every day that we live. Number one is innocence. You see, the child is innocent. He is free from sin. He is free from guilt. He is unacquainted with evil. And he is pure and free of blame. You know, now adults, we know right from wrong. And because we know right from wrong, we are expected to act accordingly. Now, I have to tell you, I don't always do the right thing. And I also have to tell you that you don't always do the right thing. As a child, I did the wrong thing a whole lot. And I'm sure you did as well. But as you aged, as you grew, as you gained in understanding and wisdom, you began more and more to do the right thing instead of the wrong thing. As adults, we know right from wrong, and we should seek that part of our lives to do that which is right. But in one way, in the way of innocence here, we need to be like children. In fact, the Lord tells us in Matthew 18 and verse 3, except you be converted and become as little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So this is one of the things about being a child that we need to keep within us as adults today. We need to keep that innocence. We also need to keep a simple faith and a simple trust in God. You know, children believe what they are told, especially coming from their parents. They put a tremendous amount of faith and trust in their parents that they're always going to do the right thing for them. They're always going to do what is good for them. And even if the hard time comes, they don't really worry. Mom and Dad will take care of us. Children believe that. They put a tremendous amount of faith in their parents. I want to suggest to you, my friends, that worries will disappear in our lives when we as adults, as Christians, put that kind of faith in God. You know, I love what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. He said, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Oh, what a wonderful thought. To know that you can put that kind of faith and that kind of trust into something or someone that is so great. And you never have to worry about your relationship with Him as far as His part is concerned, because He is always there. And He is always wanting what is best for you. And we need to keep that as we go through our adult years as children of God. Another thing we need to keep in childish traits is we need to keep sympathy. You know, children are very compassionate. They're very tender-hearted. And they're very quick to display sympathy. And you know, we never need to lose that in life. We always need to be willing to share the hurt of other people. Paul tells us in Romans 12 and verse 15, rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And then in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, he says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. We need that desperately in our lives today. For you see, sometimes adults can be very cruel. They can be very hard when it comes to the heart. But on the other hand, Christian maturity is unselfish. Christian maturity responds to the needs of others, even at its own expense. And that's what we need in our lives today. The willingness to sympathize, the willingness to aid and to help other people. Another thing that we need to keep from our children is a quick willingness to forgive. You know, if you've had kids in the home, you know they fuss and they fight and they threaten one another and they just would tear each other apart given an opportunity. But then a few minutes later, they're playing with one another and they're happy with one another as if nothing had ever happened. You see, that's the forgiveness of the child. You know, forgiveness is basic to genuine Christianity. It was forgiveness that allowed you and I to become Christian. It is forgiveness that allows us to live the Christian life, knowing that we have a hope of heaven, and that hope of heaven is based upon forgiveness that comes from God above. Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 13, that we need to be bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Forgiveness was a part of the model prayer that we read in Luke chapter 11. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone that is indebted to us. It is a part of Christianity. You know, some hard-hearted adults, some hard-hearted Christians like to play the part of the Pharisee. And they say, oh yes, I will forgive. But in reality, they really don't. For a while. These are the things that we need to keep in our lives as we grow, as we mature into adults as Christians. We need to keep that innocence. We need to keep that faith and that trust. We need to keep sympathy. And we need to always be forgiving. But there's another side to this story. There is also some things that we must give up. There are some things that we must put away as we grow in Christ. And I want to mention a few of them to you. We need to put away things such as tattling and gossip. You know, when you look at a child, you know, a child is quick to want justice. They're really quick to run to mom and dad and say, look what he did. Look what he made me do. We're really quick to do that. You know, children love to tell stories on someone else if it will make them look better. You know, I've told y'all this several times. The best way to make yourself look good is to make someone else look bad. Children love to do this. Me doing this? I guess it is. Let me just take this thing off. Now, it won't do it anymore. Okay. Children love to do that. And I don't know if we've learned this from them or if they have learned it from us. But for whatever reason, as adults, we continue to do the very same thing. Tattling. In the adult, we don't call it tattling. We call it gossiping. Gossip is a rumor that goes in one ear and out of many mouths. Gossip always travels faster when we use our sour grape line. When we're upset about something, we can really let it go, can't we? Adults often try to hurt one another by whispering negative news about someone. Whether it's true or not, that really doesn't matter. You know, Solomon addressed this in Proverbs 16, verses 27 and 28. He said, "An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends." It's interesting that he would mention the word whisperer here. A whisperer is a slanderer. A whisperer is a talebearer. Now, there is part of the Levitical law that deals with this problem. We find it in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16. It was given to the Israelites because of this particular problem. "You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." These are things that as an adult, mature person, we do not do. Do we? Unfortunately, sometimes we do. A mature faith will understand the harm in this activity. Paul reinforces this law in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13. "And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not." The mature faith will teach us to put an end to gossip. The pure faith will allow us to have an openness of mind to correct problems without spreading issues that are not true among other people. So we need to know that instead of roasting our brethren around the kitchen table, we need to move quickly to remove bitterness and difficulties between each other. Another thing we need to put away is the need to have the center of attention. You know, when children, they always get attention, don't they? They're right, grandparents? Don't children get attention? Yeah. You know, and that's a wonderful thing, I guess. But sometimes they expect to be the focus of all attention. And when they do this, we give them a name. We call it a brat. Y'all have any brats in y'all's family? Think about that. And most time, if they can't get attention by being good, what are they going to do? They're going to get attention by being bad. I think Billy's about ready to jump up over there. I'm not sure. They're going to do whatever it takes so that you will notice them, right? Now, again, I don't know whether they learned that from us or if we learned it from them. Because we do the very same things. We demand attention, don't we? Now, we call it something else. We call it pride. We want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to be noticed. Because we're prideful. Paul, boy, he addressed this in Galatians 6 and verse 3. He said, "If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." You see, the mature faith will tell you to be humble in life. It's not going to be something that you need to walk out of the door and say, "Here I am." Peter says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." If you want to be lifted up, the way to do it is humility. And let someone else do it. Don't try to do it yourself. So we need to be careful of that. Trying to be the center of attention. Another thing we need to put away is jealousy and envy in life. You know, sometimes children will destroy the things of another because he's jealous of what the other person has. And when if a child is playing with someone else's toy, may deliberately try to break it because he wishes that it was his and it's not. A child may step on another child's new shoes because he didn't get new shoes, or break the toy that he didn't get. And here's something else that may happen. Sometimes children will take action when they see jealousy from their parents. Now, I have a story to tell y'all, and it is a story about me, so don't y'all think I'm this way. But when I was growing up, my daddy's first cousin, his name was Villard Jones, and his family lived on the next street over to us when I was a young boy. Our families were very close to each other. Their daughter Wanda and I were like brother and sister. And one day, Villard drives up in our driveway with a new car. 1965 baby blue Chrysler New Yorker. Now, the New Yorker was one of those cars that was at the top of the totem pole in those days. If you had a car like that, you were somebody, let me tell you. When he left, my daddy started in. Green-eyed jealousy at its best. Boy, he had every bad thing he could think of to say about that car. And I'm just sitting there taking it all in. Well, the next Sunday at church, on the way in, I'm walking to the door, and I see that new Chrysler car sitting there, and I had a great old big piece of bubble gum in my mouth. And I want you to know I took out that big old piece of bubble gum, and I just squeezed it in the front door of that car. Just as hard as I could, went on in. After church, me and Daddy's on our way to our car, and we're walking by, and there's Villard out there trying to get that bubble gum off of his car. And Daddy walks over there, and he starts trying to help him get it off of his car. And I'm thinking, well, what are you doing that for? You didn't like his car. But he did. He helped him. But the strangest thing was that while he was bent down there with Villard pulling bubble gum off of his car, he turned around and looked at me, and he said, boy, did you do that? And I want you to know that this highly intelligent, upright 9-year-old lied. No, I didn't do that. That night at church, Wanda came in and she sat down by me at church and she said, I saw you put that bubble gum on our car. Boy, my heart sank. Now, Wanda was my best friend, and I loved her to death, but she was a tattler. But she said, I'm not going to tell on you, she said, because I hate that car. She said, I even poured grape Kool-Aid in it. And I want you to know that today, you people in this room and Wanda Jones is the only people who know that I put bubble gum on that car. So don't you tell anybody. You know, jealousy is a product of pride. Because I don't have it, I don't want you to have it either. Adults are envious because of other people's success. They're envious because of other people's business, other people's accomplishments, or recognition that they have received in life. And if you think that's bad, watch brethren as they try to destroy each other because of the very same thing. Paul said, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And Solomon tells us, Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is the life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. The sound heart would be a person who is right with God. The fretful, the envious, the discontented spirit would not exist. And we need to throw it away. Another thing we need to throw away is pouting. You ever see anybody do that? Yeah, That's a good pout picture right there, isn't it? They don't get their way, they pout. Sometimes they throw a fit. And it's hard to get them to do anything. It's hard to get them to respond to anything because they're mad about something. Children do it a lot, don't they? Guess what? So do we. We don't get our way at work, at home, or even here. We pout. Sadly, there are some people who have more joy and pouting than they do in being blessed. Some people love to pout. Some people love to be angry at other people's well-doing. Some people love to get their feelings hurt so they can show it. And we have it happen all over. We have it happen here. So-and-so didn't speak to me. Boy, that makes me mad. I'll show them. I won't come back. You're showing us all right. You're showing us immaturity. We need to remember what Paul said about love. Bill's already read it for us this morning. I want to reiterate a couple of verses. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Now back up to verse 5. It does not behave rudely. That's what pouting is. Behaving rudely. Maturity gives us the capacity to face frustration and unpleasant things of life without complaining about it and without collapsing on the floor and throwing a fit. And we need to understand that. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, did I? Did you? Did you put away those childish things? Have you reached that level of maturity where you don't allow these things to control you anymore? Well, how do you reach this level of maturity? Well, first of all, you keep God in mind. You put God first. It's just like Matthew 6:33, for seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if you will do that, you don't have to worry about all this other stuff. Never withdraw or quit. Never give up. You see, that's what you do when you throw down to have the fit. You're giving it up. You don't care anymore. And learn from your mistakes. I do hope that everyone in this room, because I know you've all made mistakes, have learned from your mistakes. And you've only done some things once because you knew not to do it twice. Maturity takes time. It's not something that's going to happen tomorrow. That's why we train our children in the admonition of the Lord so that they will learn through their experiences and through time how to mature and put the childish things away. And as adults, sometimes we don't learn those lessons as a child, and we have to learn to put them away as an adult. The church would be stronger if we would put away childish things. Your Christian life would be stronger if you could put away childish things. Your family would be stronger if you could put away childish things. Your work would be stronger if you could put away childish things. Boy, I could go on and on with that. We need to put away childish things. So I'm talking to you this morning. If you're living a life of childishness, it's time to stop. It's time to put it aside. It's time to grow up. Especially as a Christian. And my friends, if you are a Christian here this morning, and there are childish things in your life that hinder your Christianity, that hinder your life in general, You need to change that. You need to repent of that and let God help you. It may be this morning that you're not a Christian. Maybe it's because you're childishly stubborn. You need to throw that stubbornness aside. Give your life to the Lord and live for Him as a mature child of God. We want to give you an idea or an opportunity this morning to put away childish things in your life. And you can do so by coming to the Lord today. Please come if you need while we stand and sing.